get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is the return of Molly and Pete Save Christmas for 2020.
We just skipped the Molly and Pete Save Everything season and went straight to Christmas.
There was COVID, so we couldn't be in production.
Remember COVID?
All the key grips and all.
Yeah, we had limited staff.
All our staff wasn't available for COVID through COVID, so we didn't record any during the quarantine.
I mean, the biggest reason was that your work hours changed, which made it, and responsibilities changed, which made it harder for you to have time to edit it.
That's true, yeah.
But you've made, apparently that hasn't changed, but you're going to squeeze it in now that the Christmas movies have started.
Well, yeah, because it's the most wonderful time of the year.
We can't let our fans down. So, you know, not that much has happened, but like I'm running with a new crew now.
All this has happened since... The last one we did was sometime in March.
I started with my team in May. So, but people, like, somehow it comes up on Facebook or something, like, that I have a podcast. And people are like, oh, you and your husband have a podcast? I was like, yeah, do you watch Hallmark Christmas movies? And you get one of two, there's two responses. People are like, yes, and excited about it. Or people are like, look at you, like, you're crazy. Yeah. So. And then I say, you can listen to it even without watching the movie.
Yeah, but you should watch the movie because they're great.
Yeah.
And especially during this time of American crisis.
And they're kind of solving some of their inclusivity issues. So a nice, I guess, is that in response to the heat that they took last year or the events of this year?
I'm going to say a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have a lot of cats and dogs doing things.
We have every animal wants to be right here right now. And then we have a cat, an outside cat visitor that comes to our back deck. He was just here. And then our cats kind of freak out when that happens. So
enjoy. with COVID and everything that's going on, I am from the camp of I don't want to watch anything that makes me think. I'm like embedded in this, you know, during Monday through Friday, all day, all night.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get home or on the weekends, I don't want to do anything. So hence Emily in Paris.
We come together on the Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
But we have different guilty pleasures, though.
Yeah.
Like, you like dumb traditional sitcoms.
I do. I do.
I like reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
And
It sounds like we're torturing animals in the house. We're not. That's Cashew. That's our little foster cat.
Who's a perfect little cat. But it's funny. Like, this has happened before when this cat has visited. We've had another foster cat, and they've been like, get away from here. You're going to mess up my good thing. Yeah, so I like reality TV and like, competition shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I like documentaries about cults. So I just can't with the sitcoms, or the Emily in Paris is just too stupid. Like, I want an escape, but it still has to like entertain me, though.
Well, Emily in Paris is entertaining, and I, you know, game shows, so I can watch the game shows.
Yeah, and, I like game shows. Yeah.
I can't get into your sex cult fascination. But yeah, so Christmas movies, this is coming at a good time for us.
Yeah. And I thought
October.
So they started last weekend, and I was kind of hesitant. Like, I thought that, I don't know if it totally sounded good to me. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling this. I don't know about this.
Like watching Hallmark movies?
In Christmas, like already like getting into the Christmas movies.
Yeah.
But then I watched one and I was like, oh, this is great. All right. And now like sports kind of, the sports that we would watch sort of wrapping up and...
Right, that's true. We did like watch
like
a lot
tennis
of baseball
and baseball. And, yeah. It's like that ending. Because if we just want something like mindless to watch... Mm-hmm. It's now the default is the Christmas movies.
I mean, I always look forward to Christmas coming, and maybe this year more. Well, part of me wants it to be here, but then part of me is mad, too, that it's going to be different. So I'm just kind of looking for anything that kind of gives me some Christmas enjoyment. I actually, for the first time ever, I answered a poll question on the Light FM's website where...
You do have to go to the website to answer.
Yeah.
And then just, like, pop up on something.
And then it signed me up for something, so now I'm getting, like, emails from them where it was like, you know, guess the date where we're going to start playing 24-hour Christmas music, and then you get to win. You win a prize or something.
What's the prize?
I don't remember.
What could it be?
Maybe concerts or something.
What? That doesn't happen anymore.
I don't know what that. And I filled out two, because first I was like, oh, it's going to happen like November 1st, which is the date we're recording this, because I'm not sure when this will ever get released. But I was like, November 1st, it's going to be the day. As soon as Halloween's over, they're going to start playing Christmas music 5 o'clock. But then I'm like, oh, that's a Sunday. They won't get any
publicity. Tomorrow,
they
you
won't
think?
Get any publicity. But then I was thinking, oh, the election.
I think tomorrow sounds.
They don't want to, like, they don't want to have
the election.
I think
it's good counter programming. Give people something.
I said November
pleasant.
4th, 5 o'clock.
I'm thinking November 2nd, midnight.
Oh, all right.
Is my guess.
Get on the website to find out what prize we can win. Two tickets to a Taylor Dane show or something. Is that it? Taylor Dane? Is she a person?
It's just going to be something I'm going to throw, like, not want. Like, I hate stuff. And you love stuff.
I do love stuff.
And every time, like, you win. Oh, no.
I'm enjoying a coffee.
Every time we, you know, like... We, like, you run a race and you get, like, a goodie bag. I throw away, like, 99. I'm just like, I feel bad for, like, throwing something away, but it's just junk. It's just stuff that I don't want. I'm like, I wish I could opt out of stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, we picked up some stuff from, like, they did, like, a vegan charcuterie tray thing at a brewery. We picked it up and it had stuff in the bag, too. And I was just like, get rid of it.
Yeah, and I want it all.
Or like you buy, like I bought some shoes and at the running store, they're like, oh, look at all this stuff that you get for free. I was just like, I don't want it. I don't want it. Keep it away out of my bag.
Yeah, I do want it, but I don't know what to do with it.
Like, what are you going
to
do with a bunch of buttons and like a little pencil and stickers? Like,
yeah, because we'll buy records, or I'll order a record from like a band or whatever. And they'll send
it comes with stuff.
A sticker of their label or whatever.
Yeah.
And I put it on, the first thing I do is I put it on top of the microwave, and that annoys you.
And it stays there for like a couple weeks, and I get annoyed every time I look at it, and then I throw it away.
Or...
And you never know.
Or you... That's true. Or you'll move it to... Oh my gosh. Sorry, we had a pause there for cat. I don't know what they were doing, but it didn't sound good. You
cat
heard
chaos.
Huh? So they'll get, you know, the sticker will be on the microwave for a while, and I know that it annoys you. And then sometimes I'll move it from the microwave up to my desk.
Uh-huh.
And invariably, something comes along where that area, it was just technically your gym.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really my
office.
Where
you put your clothes in my gym.
It's where I hang my jeans and where you do your bike.
Mm-hmm, and your shoes.
Your cycling.
Your bag with the strap sticking out.
And then it sits up there for a while. And then eventually I move it into this closet area.
No, you never do that. I do. Like, one of two things happens to it. I throw it away, or I put it in a box in the closet, and then we just have these boxes full of this stuff that you'll never, like, go through.
No, there's been times where, like, do you remember that sticker? And I could see, like, you thinking, like, oh, I hope I didn't throw that out.
No, I think, like, why do you want that? I don't think I hope I didn't throw that out. I think I hope I did, so we don't have to, like, deal with it.
Well, there was something recently where I wanted from that closet. Yeah, and you do the thing like the Jimmy Fallon computer guy. Like, I'm in there looking, and you go, move.
Oh, that makes me sound so mean.
Well, you do, because it's like a junk closet, but it's really neat. Like, you have everything kind of packed really neatly. Specific areas, you know, like one side is extra towels and sheets and such, and the other side is... old computers.
Boxes of your stuff.
So you know where everything is. And there, I do have a couple of boxes of where I've have old receipts for some reason, and stickers and medals from races and such.
I have no, like you're good about keeping ephemera, but that's included with the, like, why would, like, if I never even take a receipt from anything, like, why do you need a receipt? But I completely only want to live in the now. I don't want anything, like,
yeah,
I just want the things that are currently, I just need this currently and then say goodbye to it. So,
well, like, when I die, what are you gonna have to rifle through to make you sad?
A bunch of receipts and cords and CDs.
And wouldn't that make you sad, or would that make you mad? Like, I'm glad he's gone. Like,
no, that's horrible. That's terrible. Well, think about your legacy. Like, do you want it to just be receipts and cords? That's what you're keeping.
Yeah.
Do you want it to be an ornament that's supposed to be super old but looks like somebody just made it that morning with like a big ball with an opening with a tiny little piano in the middle? Do you want that to be your legacy?
No,
like
you're
in
right.
Chateau Christmas. Okay, so, should we talk about these movies?
So we've watched
two. So they started last weekend, and there's premieres on Saturday and Sunday nights on both Hallmark and regular Hallmark movie channel and Murders and Mysteries. So there's four every weekend. It's a lot.
Is it Murders and Mysteries? Is that's what it's called? Hallmark Murders and Mysteries? I don't think it's called Murders and Mysteries. Is it?
It's definitely Mysteries.
Hallmark Movies and Mysteries?
Maybe. But there's already Hallmark. Oh, maybe.
I don't think it's Murders. I don't think they do a lot of murders on the Hallmark channel. It's not.
I really like that. Yeah. Well, it's something... Movies and Mysteries?
Yeah, I think it's just Movies and Mysteries.
And the other one is just regular Hallmark Channel. It's not like Hallmark Movie Channel.
Hallmark Movie Channel. Want me to look it up?
No, it's fine.
No, I'll look it up.
The other movie we need to watch is Holiday on Netflix, which I noticed it was number one last week.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah.
Oh, because remember I looked during the week and it showed up as being coming out November 6th or something.
No, I think it was just like coming out the next day when we looked it up. I think it came out like the 25th. It was the number one movie on Netflix last week.
And it's
the number one anything on Netflix last week.
And it's set in Chicago, or they, I think part of it, yeah. Much like Emily in Paris.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, we'll see. I feel like Holiday's going to be dumber than the Hallmark ones based on Emily in Paris, if it has that kind of feel. And just things not being very good on Netflix.
Let's watch Holiday tonight.
Holiday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries.
Okay.
Hallmark Murders.
And then the other one is just Hallmark Channel?
Yeah, Hallmark Channel.
Okay, so we watched the first two that came out. Jingle Bell Bride, mm-hmm. and Chateau Christmas. I mean, they're both very as expected. However, they have made them more diverse, and mm-hmm. in Jingle Bell Bride, it's a she's Latinx, mm-hmm. and he is black. She's like an event planner in New York, and she's planning a wedding for a pop singer. Mm-hmm. She sort of had like a Selena Gomez feel to her or something. Mm. She, you know, everything was like ready to go, and she'd already told her sister that She couldn't spend Christmas with her family, with her sister and her sister. There's always a sister with a daughter, mm-hmm. and she couldn't spend Christmas with them yet again because of this wedding. And which I'm thinking, like, there's like no time at all for you to like be with your family.
Well, this pop star is very demanding.
Very demanding, yeah. And so everything seems to be ready to go, but then she decides that she finds like this weird old picture of her grandmother and on her wedding day, and she has a bouquet of jingle bell flowers, and she wants this girl to get them. And so it turns out that they're out of season, that they're impossible to get, but the only place you can get them is some nursery in Alaska, mm-hmm. in a tiny town outside, like near Anchorage.
Yeah, what was that town called? Teza or something?
Tapiza?
Tapiza?
Well, when she flies in, she's like a little airport, and she gets out, and there's this big poster that says the name of the town, and then we see that poster like in the next room, too. Yeah, the same poster.
Yeah, like four times.
The pilot is a guy who's like he's a Hallmark movie regular. Mm-hmm. So she's just gonna fly to this town in Alaska, yeah. and get the flowers and fly back. It was easier than having them like here, like a courier get them, which I still don't understand why.
Yeah,
and she had all like tons of flowers. I'm like, how are you going to carry these on the plane with you? And it ended up just being like three kind of smallish cooler things. I'm like, for the amount of flowers that they needed to cover everything, an archway and
right,
like
they
all
need
these
the
things.
Archway was the big thing.
Yeah. So she goes to, and like she's up for this promotion, of course. And, you know, like she works for this event planning company that makes, they have the kind of weddings that like, it's what people pay extra money to have like these special things done for them. And so she flies to Alaska, and there's the woman there who runs the nursery, and she is, I was watching one from last year that's about like a woman whose grandmother dies and she comes home to like settle her estate, and this woman had played the Ethel, the bakery owner, in that one. So another veteran, and her grand or her nephew runs the nursery with her, and they're, he's kind of surly. There's a mayor in town that she looks like the demi, she looked like the Demi Gorgon from Stranger Things. Like every time I look, it was hard to like look at her and like not see that face. So that was some odd casting, however that happened. She ultimately falls in love with like the pilot.
Oh, she does. Oh, there's a love story.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I fell asleep. So I don't know the end.
You watched this whole one. You fell asleep in Chateau Christmas, but you watched this whole the whole one.
No, because I had, remember I had to ask you like what happened at the end.
Oh, and I said they got together in the end. Surprise, surprise. So anyway, she hangs out in this like little town in Alaska. She's just supposed to be in and out grabbing the flowers.
Yeah, like 20 hours.
She was going to be there for like at 2 hours.
Oh,
like she flew,
but 20 hours total, like she would be back like there and
from
back.
New York leave come back gone from New York 20 hours total. But not, but in town for like 20 minutes. So she goes and like the guy, I mean this guy knew that she was coming and nothing was like ready for her or anything, and he's so slow and he gives her like this is my least favorite thing in a Hallmark movie, when the man gives the woman like tons of grief over her like her
it's the typical New York speedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Over her insistence that it has to get done. Where I'm in the small town where we move slow here. You know, you're going to have to slow down. We don't do anything fast here.
Yeah.
Despite, like you said, having the order already. Just like, why isn't the order prepared? She just pick up boxes. But the guy puts her to work and cutting the jingle bell.
They also flowers. Like run this nursery in this tiny town, and then they have this like dumb jingle bell festival. But they were very, this woman wants to come in and buy all of their flower or tons of their flowers. Not even all of them, tons of their flowers. They'd still have enough for the festival. And they're very hesitant to like do this because she's like from New York City. Or it's like, this is, I don't see you filling any other orders. Like, you're going to have some income coming in. Like,
this is great.
Do this. Yeah.
You'd be so happy if some out-of-towner said, like, I want to spend thousands of dollars on your product.
I still don't understand why that pilot couldn't just fly some to Anchorage. And then surely Anchorage is big enough, there'd be some kind of courier service that would take it to
You're really hung up
New
on the
York.
Transportation.
This whole movie didn't even need to happen.
So, I mean, you're right. You're not wrong. You're exactly right. But
so
when you start really nitpicking the finer points of a Hallmark
I also
movie,
felt like when another thing that was weird, as they sort of seamlessly try to integrate more diversity into these movies. I mean, I feel like they're doing a good job. But the nephew goes to pick her up at the airport, and there's like nobody in this tiny little airport, and there's a whole scene with a vending machine, and she calls the mayor's office like, I'm waiting for my ride or whatever, and he's standing there like, it's like she assumed like, oh, that black man can't be the florist or the nursery owner. So I felt that was a bit weird, like that they allowed that. Anyway, so
I think it's typically, if you think of a florist, maybe you think of a woman, not race perhaps.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so they've packed up all the flowers, and he's taking her back to the airport because she's going to get on another little flight back to Anchorage and then back to New York. And they get stuck because a moose is crossing the street, and then some business with his car not starting, or they get stuck or something
classic.
Like that. Yeah. So she misses her flight, and when she gets to the airport, he's like, oh, we won't have another flight until tomorrow, so she's going to have to spend the night. So the nursery owner takes her in into the guest bedroom. bedroom, which is, of course, the guest bedroom is, of course, decorated for Christmas. Of course.
I love how everything, like in Chateau Christmas,
yeah,
every single room in this chateau hotel has their own Christmas tree.
Well, just like I said, like, have you ever stayed in a hotel that was the rooms were decorated for Christmas? Like, they decorate every room for Christmas. No.
Do you think that exists? Like,
no.
And something on a
maybe
higher
like
plane
a,
than we are
maybe like
to?
A bed and breakfast, but not a hotel. Well, they even like say in Chateau Christmas, like, one of the reasons why we keep coming back every year is that they give you your own Christmas tree to decorate.
I know. And who wants that?
And they brought their own ornaments with them. Okay.
I mean, I love Christmas trees, and I like decorating our Christmas tree, but I'm really happy when it's over.
Yeah.
And I would never want to go to a hotel.
And then you have to take your ornaments off before never, you leave?
No, I would want my Christmas tree to be already
Well, we'll
decorated.
Get to our questions about that movie next. We have some. So she stays with the aunt and nephew who run the nursery, and then his, like, the nursery owner's daughter shows up with her family. They're all spending Christmas together, and she still can't fly out because the plane needs a part, of mm-hmm. course. That takes
There's a storm too. A storm happened.
That never really materializes, though.
But there was the big thing
There's
about
threats of
yeah,
it.
Threats of a storm, and she's like, "Oh,
she's
how
to
many
get boots and a coat?
Like, how much snow?" And he's like, "Oh, 2 feet or something."
Yeah.
So there was concern about an impending storm.
He says something
well.
Like two, and she thinks inches, but it's feet. And you're like, "Girl, you're in Alaska. Like, I don't know what you're expecting."
She didn't have boots.
You'd be so surprised that it would be snowy and cold. But of course, they're walking around in light jackets, like open. So she can't fly out because they need the part. And of course, because it's a small, tiny town, a tiny, small town in Alaska, it's going to take a while to get that part. So they let her stay, and they go to the, like, the little street holiday festival market thing a bunch. And they make snow angels, and they decorate snowmen. And
something happened at the beginning where she was voted as a princess of the town.
Yeah. How did that happen? The demigorgon mayor put a crown on her.
Yeah, and they pulled her name out of a hat.
Yeah.
And she was like
So how was she entered in that?
Yeah, who entered her into the contest where she was the princess?
I'm not sure.
She didn't.
And then but really did she ever really even have to do anything either?
I don't think she had any duties other than wearing the hat.
The tiara.
She put that on later in the movie for some reason.
Yeah, so she's always trying to find cell service, and the town prides itself on not having any cell service. And I was just looking up, like, I'm like, what were their character names and what was the town's name? I can't find any of that information online. Like, it's not even on, like, the movie's on IMDb, but not the character names. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Hallmark Channel's website about Jingle Bell Bride, oh, Jessica is her name. Wedding planner Jessica Perez travels to a remote town in Alaska, but doesn't say the name, to find a rare flower for a celebrity client, and is charmed by the small town during Christmas, as well as the handsome local helping her.
They don't want you to remember. They just want you to forget and move on to the next one.
Well, we find out with her, you know, talking to his cousin that the handsome local, he used to live in New York, and he taught at a college there, and he was married, and he got divorced and moved back when his uncle died to help his aunt to get away. And he's been working on, like, some kind of tenure. He's been on sabbatical, basically, like, working some kind of research project.
And this is another problem I have, in that she's obviously interested in him from the beginning.
They have good chemistry.
Yet she becomes more interested
when she knows that. Yeah.
When she knows that he used to live in New York. Why can't she just be happy with this guy that's running the florist shop in Alaska, who's a nice guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So anyway, they go to a dance together. She wears... It really had the feel to me, like, she borrows a dress to wear, and she has, like, a purse with her for some reason. And you know in Steel Magnolias, when Daryl Hannah borrows, like, the dress to go to the Julia Roberts wedding, and she had, like, the purse that she, like, stuffs stuff in? That was, like, the feeling I got from that. she's she the pilot is at the dance and he's like, oh, I have the part came in.
Yeah.
They make the mayor makes arrangements that she can like fly back early because her job is being threatened at this point. And all of a sudden she's like back in New York and then he's there in the end.
It was weird that they're at the dance and the pilot, she just runs into the pilot and she like says hi and he's like, oh, by the way, the part came in. And I'm like, wait, you know, why didn't you tell her? It took her just running into him,
yeah,
for her to know that the part is in.
Right, like how would she know?
Like if she didn't run into him, would he not have told her?
I don't know. That whole dance had the feel too of like in Baby Boom where she goes to the dance where she like dances with Sam Shepard and like her plumber is the plays in the like in the band or whatever. It had that kind of feel too. So you can tell the kind of movies we've been watching. So then he shows up in New York, and so I guess the idea is that he's moving and back to New York.
So he decides instead of moving
her,
back.
Yes,
to,
instead of
yeah, that's
her
good.
Moving to Alaska. So I'm also getting the feel from both of these movies that they're not forcing the woman to settle.
She's not giving up her big dreams in New York to move to the small town to be with the guy.
But she did, though. She was offered the promotion when she came through with the flowers, and like the pop singer was really happy about it. And she turned, so apparently the promotion was to go to London, which I missed that part, but she would have to move to London and be away from her family. Also, she always talks about her family lives in the same town as her, the same town called New York City, where you have like a big house with a yard, which is you see that everywhere in New York City.
And some of the outskirts, you know. You have
she doesn't say out. She doesn't say we live in Connecticut together. She
no,
says we
but
live
I mean,
in New York City together.
But like in like the outskirts of Brooklyn, you know, you used to have houses with yards and stuff in Queens.
I think
such.
You're giving them way too much credit.
As somebody who's a big fan of King of Queens,
gosh,
I know that you had those houses have yards.
Those houses, those real houses. And so she shows up for Christmas with her sister and niece because she's turned down the promotion to spend more time with her family.
In typical Hallmark fashion, all the good stuff happens in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah,
because I was hanging on. I was while we were
no, you were asleep.
No, but I mean, I was hanging on till almost the end.
Oh, yeah. Like, how's this going to resolve?
I remember we were watching on the DVR, and I was at, you know, their movies are 2 hours long. We were at like 1:54. I remember seeing like 1:54 on the DVR. Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing I remember. Then I fell asleep. So I was like, I only missed 3 minutes of the movie, but I missed the whole movie, essentially.
The girl who plays her niece is an exceptionally terrible child actor.
Yeah.
In these. The Chateau Christmas child actor was pretty good. This one was, she just said the line, like, she just said the words. Mm-hmm. Like, she had no, she didn't even know what she
no
was saying. She just said the words in an order together.
Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah. Well, she'll get better. Yeah, it was just like it was like when you were a kid and you just memorized the test answers, but had no, you know, you didn't even know
you learn
what
anything. Anyway, so that's Jingle Bell Bride and then Chateau Christmas.
So what would you rate Jingle Bell Bride?
It looks like people don't really like it online. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was
C+, B-.
No, it was better than that. I don't know. I enjoyed it. No, I thought it was pleasant. I enjoyed it. I would I would recommend it. I thought they were a good couple once he finally stopped being a dick to her.
Would you, if it was on right now, would you watch it? Would you stick with it? Would you keep it on as background
noise? Because it doesn't have anything in it that it doesn't have, like, there's actors in these movies that I don't like. None of them were in this. And there's, like, plots that I don't like as much. And this was, because it doesn't have anything that I don't like in it, I would watch a part of it again.
So the other one we watched was
Chateau Christmas. And it starred two Canadian all-star Hallmark Channel actors, Luke McFarlane, perennial Christmas movie favorite, and Merritt Patterson, who you might remember from the one where she was a photographer last year, like came to another settle her grandmother's estate situation. Picture a Perfect Christmas was the one that she was in. There was like a dog in that one too. She is a concert pianist, and you have to put aside all reason and believe that people know who classical musicians are.
I think
like as if like as if classical musicians were like the most famous.
Yeah,
were, like,
not just
stars.
A niche.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I'm sure there are people that know who classical musicians are, but broadly, it's not popular.
I like when I was a kid, there was a classical music station that people I like went to school with listened to. I guess I mean like. I think they did like ballet and orchestra, things I didn't do, so it was more part of their life. But mm-hmm. on Saturday mornings, they would have like a quiz show, and you would win concert tickets or something and stuff. And like, I would have friends that would like win it all the time, and I would have like, how would I ever even know one thing? How do they know these things?
Well,
I don't know.
They're raised with it. So.
I was raised with Tiffany and Taylor Dane, so
like a normal kid.
Yeah. She's a concert pianist, and she's like.
It was a second Taylor Dane reference in this podcast.
I know, FYI. I did that. I said that. It was a callback. So she's going to have like a big concert at like Radio City Music Hall or something, like a show's New York, and it's, you know, that kind of thing. And she's in practicing, and it's such a you know, like those theaters in New York are pretty grandiose. Like it's just like cinder block. It's such a like, it's not even like a high school.
It's worse than
it's like a park district auditorium. It's really bad. And there's all these lights are sparking. And turns out that it wasn't up to code and that the fire marshal shut them down. So no concert for her. So her family had asked her to meet them at the chateau. So she's from Boulder, Colorado. And this all takes place in Lafayette, Colorado, which may or may not be a real place. I'm not sure. A small town outside of Boulder. And so her family, who lives in Boulder, every year goes and stays at this hotel, and they want her to meet them. But she's like, no, my Christmas shows are sold out. I can't meet you. And it seems like she's been like, this is always happening. She's touring and
she's coming off a couple of bad reviews.
Yeah. She's gotten some bad reviews saying that she's like lost it and that she doesn't play with any like heart and soul anymore. And so she shows up at the hotel where her father has passed away. Her mother, who has like a Marlena Evans vibe to her, in a bad wig, and her sister, who's considerably older than her, I felt, but fine. Her sister's daughter, who was a good actress. And then almost Mario Lopez as her sister's husband.
Yeah, that
guy. Who was like, it really looked like, the sister looked like she was in her mid-40s. He looked like he was in his mid-20s. He looked like, it had a real Bachelor contestant feel to it, where like, or Bachelorette contestant, where like, right now there's like, the older Bachelorette, and then there's like, some guys on there that are really young. It's like, the casting was so odd with this guy.
Yeah.
He was just kind of like this Frankenstein, this like young, kind of hunky Frankenstein guy that every now and then would just be like, oh, like make a sound.
It's like they wanted an ethnic looking person or something.
Yeah.
And he was the only guy that showed up for the casting call. So they just took him.
He had a very Party City Model feel to him. And with the diversity in this one, like he had, his skin and features were like darker, and the sister a little bit too, and then they had like this blonde child. It's just like, that's really willy-nilly where how they're like doing it. And I think they did integrate it into more seamlessly, where like characters would be of different races. And it wasn't, you know, it seemed very natural.
The guy works at a college. He's like a music professor at a college, and like the head of the program at the college was black.
And somebody in like the quartet they play with, and the husband of another character.
Yeah, with these two, the diversity is pretty good.
Like, they're putting a little bit of, from going from no effort to a tiny bit of effort,
well,
I guess.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Our favorite character of all of these is Adam. And
he does PR for the chateau.
Another odd casting choice. So, Adam is the head of PR for the chateau, which I guess is a thing.
Yeah.
This would be what PR would do. Yeah. I don't know. So how would you describe Adam?
He looks like if you told a surfer guy to put on a suit for the first time ever.
Yeah. He has very tousled hair. Yeah. He's always eating cookies and awkward
really
in a suit.
Fit right. He has a weird gait to him.
Yeah.
And his mannerisms are very certain. He's like, oh, yeah. Like,
he's a dude.
Yeah, he's a total dude.
So he's in charge of the Christmas concert at the chateau, which is, of course, happening on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that always happens where things happen on Christmas Day. That is not a thing. Like, things happen before Christmas. People are with their family on Christmas Day.
Right, right. Right.
So they have this Christmas concert, and it's just in, like, the lobby of the hotel, too, and they're acting like it's at Radio City Music Hall. Like, so a lot of pressure on Adam to pull this off. And multiple things have happened where the director pulled out, somebody had laryngitis, like, somebody broke their arm.
Broadway star was supposed to be in it, and she had laryngitis.
A lot of falls apart. So he goes to his friend, Luke McFarlane, who works at the college in town, who's a musician, to get him to help with it. And he is really hesitant about it. And lo and behold, in the lobby, they run into Margot, the concert pianist who's there with her family. And, they have a history together. They were college sweethearts and were in a quartet group, or something, a group
might
together.
Might have been just a duo. Might have been just him on the cello and her on the piano.
And they had a big performance, and she left because it was her big chance to go on tour and be discovered. And we never really see her. Like, we see her playing the piano. Like, you can tell it's not her, or it's just you see her where you don't see the her playing. You just see, like, the top of her over the piano. But he had to, like, really play the cello in this, though, or really fake out playing the cello.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I mean, I noticed that he was moving his fingers. I didn't really think that he was playing the cello.
It was more on display than her playing the piano.
Yeah. She broke up with him because she wanted to pursue her career.
Yeah.
And he wanted to just...
She wanted to travel.
He wanted to be, as she said, a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah. So, they're trying to pull this off. Margot agrees to be in the concert. And when Margot agrees to that, then Luke McFarlane agrees to organize it. And they start together pulling it together. They pull together this old quartet that used the Lafayette Quartet. That used to be the most famous classical quartet in all the world, in that area, in Boulder. The most famous classical quartet in Boulder. And, like, her father had taken her to see them. And so you find out that there was, like, two of the members were a couple that had broken up, and that as well. One member had died. Mm-hmm. And they pull them back together. They're going to be in it. And Adam's nervous all the time about if they can pull this off. They,
because it's like 8 days until this concert is supposed to, this huge Christmas concert is supposed to happen, and they have nothing prepared.
Right. So they're, like, practicing. So they finally get it all pulled together, and they can practice, and it's rough in the beginning. And she never really feels good about what she's going to play. Slash lots of talk about, like, her father. So somehow something is going to come together that way. And in the meantime, just like with Jingle Bell Bride, they decorate cookies, and they go to a holiday market together, and they sit by a fire pit and have hot cocoa together, and they're realizing that they still have feelings for each other. And
he was a little still rude to her. He kept on bringing up the fact that she left. Get over it, dude. She's here.
He's also got, like, he's maybe going to be promoted to, like, the head of the department.
Right.
Too. That's going on. They practice, like, at his college. And it's, like, just a couple days before Christmas, and college is, like, still in session. And one of the things he pulls together is that the choir from the college is going to perform. I'm like, that's not how college works. These kids are, like, they go home. They're not, like, around. They're with their families on Christmas. They're not still, like, oh, I've got class on Christmas morning, and then I'm performing. So this one, they perform the concert, and she decides to, and it's going really well, and Luke McFarlane fills in for the celloist that had passed away in the quartet, and she performs Oh Holy Night instead of her, like, Jingle Bells thing or whatever she was gonna do. And she decides it's like at the last minute, and it's like everybody's, like, weeps, and it's very moving. And the person who had given her the bad reviews, the critic, was there
for
too.
Some reason.
And she came at the end, she pulled her aside and she's like, I know when I'm hard on musicians, that's just because I know what the potential that they have and that they're not living up to it and how great she was and it ended up being good, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's thrilled with the performance. Adam is happy. And it ends with the two of them.
Yeah, tell me how it ends, because I fell asleep at this one, too.
It ends at the end of the concert with them, you know, about to kiss and that they're going to try to figure out how to get back together and be together. But also, she still doesn't have to give up any of her dreams. So she's going to go on. She's about to go on tour. So she's going to do her tour and then she's going to come back and spend some time in Boulder and try to figure things out. So he makes it very clear that he doesn't expect her to give everything up.
All right.
Good job, Hallmark. Welcome to 1975.
So, all right. So those are the two that we've watched so far. So what else is on the docket?
There was like a princess one on Hallmark last night that easy to skip.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the Cranberry Christmas?
Yeah. So I recorded that one. That was on Murders and Mysteries. That was one of our favorite actors, like a couple of our favorite actors in it. So I recorded that one. That was on last night. But tonight on Hallmark is the 12 Dates of Christmas.
Oh,
every
right,
time
yeah.
I see that one, I'm like, oh, this is good. The Cranberry Christmas one, it looks like they're like they're kind of like Magnolia, like they're like a lifestyle brand couple, but mm-hmm. then they break up and it's like Cranberry Christmas is like their brand, and I'm sure they get back together in the end. The 12 Dates of Christmas, it looks a bit snappier to me.
Snappier? how so?
She just looks a little feistier and looks
okay.
A bit more urban than these two. So,
oh, all right.
So we'll have to watch that one. But yeah, I can. When there's so many, you just have to like be like, no royals, no full house cast.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. I saw a commercial for there's one starring like the Beverly Mitchell. Is that her name from Seventh Heaven? That feels a little full house cast to me. So I think I could probably
skip that one. What else is on Netflix?
I don't know what else is coming out.
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
The Dolly Parton. There's a Dolly Parton one.
Yeah, but those are usually not very good. They're sappy.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Not in a good way. Like, I love Dolly Parton, but her Christmas movies are not good.
The last one was good.
No, we watched about 5 minutes and couldn't handle it. It's like sugary, sweet,
Christmas
sappy.
In Dollywood or whatever it was.
It's like the Coat of Many Colors. Like, she has a bunch of those, and like they.
Yeah,
there's
I love
too
that.
Much.
I love that song, "Coat of Many Colors."
Well, you watched about 5 minutes of that movie last year, and we turned it off.
We
so.
Did. Well, we turned it off, or you turned it off.
They're just too. They're corny. They're just too much country.
They're all corny.
There's levels of corniness, and the Dolly Parton pushes it too much. It's like eating a Fun Dip.
Which I just found out what a Fun Dip was this morning.
Just eating straight sugar.
Is the Dennis Leary, remember the Dennis Leary Christmas show that we watched, that we liked last year? Is that coming back for like another season?
Nope, it was a one and done.
Is that because of COVID or is it because
I think
it was
that was
over?
Announced before COVID.
Oh, it was?
They were just doing it. It wasn't renewed.
Right, so we got home.
We were the only people that watched it.
We were? No.
I just remember it was not renewed, and this was before COVID.
So we got the Murders and Mysteries, we have the regular, we got Holiday on Netflix, and mm-hmm. a couple other Netflix. Are there other offerings?
I mean, there's Lifetime.
Yeah.
But how many more movies do you need?
Yeah. What about like Hulu or Peacock?
Do they have original
or
stuff?
Quibi
doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think they don't make like original stuff, do they?
No.
I like what holiday movies were supposed to come out in theaters, because there was like last year was the one with like the heart transplant, because those would maybe be on
we'll sample them all, right?
Yeah.
And if you have I do this every year. I was like, if you have a recommendation, you can contact me, but I don't have any contact information.
People can track you down. How would you recommend Chateau Christmas to people?
I would recommend Chateau Christmas.
It's worth it for Adam and the aerial shots.
Yeah, I would say I like them both, like C plus, B minus.
Yeah.
Worthy of a look.
I think maybe I like Jingle Bell Bride better than Chateau Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Chateau Christmas, like, both those actors are Canadian. Like, it had, you know, it's very expected.
Chateau Christmas really felt like Christmas, though.
It looked very Christmassy.
I mean, yeah. I know they all kind of do, but this one at the chateau and the room and everything was really finely decorated. And did they drive somewhere?
Where, like, they drive to the music shop that's in the same town, but suddenly they're in the mountains.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like a car commercial that they're trying to sell, like, during Christmas, where you see the cars driving through the woods on a really snowy street or
whatever.
This
one had the thing where they used the stock photos, stock video from New York that you always get excited about. But yeah. None of it, it didn't, it was set in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, again, there's another movie, they'll try again.
Yeah, will they? They just do the same thing over and over again. They're making so many, they can't waste their time on that kind of thing.
All right, well, so yeah, we'll be back, and we'll talk about more Christmas things. Hopefully less cat noises.
My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, why was rich as I could be in my coat of many.